News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
FM Talk 106.5. It is 8 minutes after 6 o'clock, and the app's been put to good use here over the last day.
It's been buzzing.
Yeah, great job. You downloaded the app at the App Store, and now you have got the FM Talk 106.5 app, and now you're figuring out, well, there's a lot of different ways to use it. You have updates with traffic and news, and you can get to podcasts, you can hear us live and all that. But in this case, we've asked you to use the TalkBack button and let us know about your Jimmy Buffett experience, a Jimmy Buffett story, or tell us why you think you should get these Jimmy Buffett tickets we're giving away right now.
So obviously lots of benefits to using the app, including the live traffic map, the ease of listening to podcasts, but the win them before you can buy them.
Yes.
Which we'll not only do now, but in the future as well for other contests. This show, where we're going to give away a pair of tickets today for the Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band show coming up at the Wharf September 19th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. So we have a pair of tickets today we're giving away to the best app submission tomorrow morning to give everyone else a chance once again to the, let's call them App Limited. Okay. I spent this week 2 hours separate from our app discussion here, but 2 hours with two separate people showing them how to do some basic things on phones. Okay. So I know that the app is difficult for some, even though it's very easy, but tomorrow we'll give away the tickets the traditional way, where you just dial us in.
Did you just insult the people that are having trouble with the app? it's very easy.
Not intentionally.
Difficult for some, but it's very easy.
Yeah.
You're kind of looking at me.
I mean, I did help you download the app.
You did.
Didn't I?
Yeah. You did. No, I think I downloaded it. But
yeah, you got it, no problem.
The point is, it's worth having.
Yeah, and, you know, you want to text, let us know who you think deserves to win. So either your best Jimmy Buffett story or why you deserve to win. Let's run through some of these voicemails that were left, and then Dan, you and I can award the winner here in just a couple minutes. So here is, and I can't recall, you know, I did pre-screen these. I can't remember which is which, so I'm just going to run through some of them here. Here's Robbie's submission.
My Jimmy Buffett experience is I stopped at a rest area on Interstate 10 one time to use the bathroom and noticed the guy standing down the urinals from me was, I said, "Hey, you're Jimmy Buffett." And he said, "Yeah, I have to use the bathroom sometimes too." Ha ha.
Wow, a very personal Jimmy Buffett.
I would say so.
Encounter there.
Yeah. He knows more about Jimmy Buffett than the rest of us combined.
A lot of people. Yeah, some parrot heads would have loved to have had that view, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Here's Michael's submission.
We deserve the tickets because we have been trying to get them all week, and it would be a nice surprise for my mom and three little sisters, and me and my dad both really want to go to a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Well, hang on. One, two, the mom plus the three little sisters.
And the two.
And me and my dad would really like.
The two men.
So he's trying to win six Jimmy Buffett tickets.
That's what it sounds like.
The contest is for two.
Mm-hmm.
So he would like to take up three of the days of the contest.
Yeah.
Anyway, cute little voice.
That was cute, yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Like, if you have your kid call in, that's pretty cool because kids are so genuine and innocent. Mm-hmm. And he just got in our face and asked for the six tickets to take care of his entire family.
And the reasoning, I mean, they've been trying to win all week, Dan.
It's a no-brainer.
All right, here's Jay's submission.
The first time I ever saw Jimmy Buffett, I went to a show in Atlanta with one of my friends, and we saw people making margaritas with weed eaters that were turned upside down with blenders on the other end.
Awesome.
Blending up margaritas. So that's my cool Jimmy Buffett story.
That's a pretty cool story.
That's really cool.
You know, you
very unique.
Try to take a weed eater into the Margaritaville restaurant at Disney or Universal, they'll kick you out. But at a concert, I guess no holds barred. Here's Don.
Point being, I want my brother Hal and his wife to have a good time together.
Let's see. I skipped way too far. Here we go.
Good morning, Dan and Dalton. True story. My older brother Hal looks just like Jimmy Buffett. About 30 years ago, me and some of my FedEx buddies came down to visit him. He lived there in Foley. We went to Margaritaville, I believe it was, that Friday night when we got down. And by the time we made it inside, everybody that was in the bar thought my brother was Jimmy Buffett. And he kept swearing up and down, "I'm not Jimmy Buffett. I'm not Jimmy Buffett." Bless his heart. My brother's so honest and kind to everybody. Well, by the end of the night, my buddies and I ended up having to act like we were my brother's bodyguards. And I finally had to step in and say, "Okay, Jimmy, you got a plane to catch. Let's get you back to Mobile. So we got to get out of here." Well, point being, I want my brother Hal and his wife to have a good time together. Maybe you can give them the tickets if you feel like this story's worthy.
Wow.
If you got an extra one, maybe you could give it to me. I might need to be his bodyguard that night. Y'all have a great day.
Oh, not bad. Don there.
Guy, his brother looks just like Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
And they go into a Margaritaville and they get hounded by everybody.
Yeah, and they eventually had to get out and call him Jimmy. Here's Brian.
Hey, my name is Brian, and I have a story that is 100% true and why my wife should get the Buffett tickets. After dating only 3 months, we went to a Buffett concert where we may or may not have enjoyed a full day of Parrothead fun. I decided that concert was a perfect time to ask her to marry me. She promptly told me that I had to ask her again tomorrow. I asked her again the next morning, and she said yes. As crazy as that beginning was, this year we're celebrating 25 years of marriage. I would love to surprise her with these tickets so that we can go back to where it all began.
Oh, strong contender.
When you get down to the sentimental grade on that, it's outstanding. So they're only dating 3 months. He pops her with the question because they're having a good time at Buffett.
Yeah.
And she says, "Hang on there, cowboy.
Yeah, ask me tomorrow when we've gotten to know each other a little better. Yeah,
yeah, when things aren't so hazy." And he asks her the next day, and she says, "Yes." 25 years later, that's pretty strong.
That's pretty strong. All right, got to say right now, I think Brian and Don are in the lead. Let's see what Bo has to say.
One of my favorite Jimmy Buffett stories is from my daughter. We were riding in the truck, listening to Radio Margaritaville. And the song "Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw" comes on.
Uh-oh.
And I immediately look back and say, "Now listen, y'all can't repeat these words." And my daughter looks at me and goes, "Dad, I know we can't say 'Why don't we get drunk at school.'"
Oh, lost it there. He was going to say school, right?
School. "Daddy, I know we can't say 'Let's get drunk at school.'"
That's good.
That's
three strong ones in a row.
Yeah.
All right, just a couple more here. We'll wrap it up. BJ.
Hey, guys. This is BJ. The reason I need those Jimmy Buffett tickets is because last year I had won the tickets to see Chicago at the Wharf, and then they canceled the concert because of COVID. Well, my wife was super excited about that. She's a huge Chicago fan. And since the concert never happened, she was heartbroken. And the look on her face just devastated me.
Mm.
So I need to make it up with some Jimmy Buffett tickets. Can you help a brother out?
Good appeal there.
Good appeal. I got some good news for you about the Chicago concert. I saw them when they came to the Sanger downtown. And out of the nine band members, two might have been original band members of the group Chicago Transit Authority, and everybody else was from Philadelphia, L.A.
By the way, next week we're giving away Chicago. No, I was joking. So you saw them. It wasn't the original crew there.
They were fine, but it was the logo behind the drummer that told you it was Chicago.
Yeah.
Nobody on stage.
Should have been Philly.
Right.
Exactly right. I think we got time for one more, and then we'll crown a winner here. Here's Aubrey.
Best Buffett story was winning a pair of tickets about 25 years ago and getting to see Buffett in New Orleans at City Park, open-air arena. We got there a couple hours before the show. They actually had a circus all the way around the arena, so you kind of walk around and people on stilts and lions and tigers and just all kind of the crazy circus stuff. And they actually ended up being inside the arena during the Buffett concert and made our way all the way to the front of the stage before being asked to get back in our seats. But excellent Buffett show and definitely one to remember.
Wow, another good one there. You know, I think it's got to be between right now Don, who's, I think...
Good morning, Danny.
His brother, right?
That was, looks just like Jim.
His brother. Okay, Don, whose brother just looks just like Jimmy Buffett. They had to get him out of the crowd. And I think Jay.
The first time I ever saw Jimmy Buffett, I went to a show in Atlanta with one of my friends, and we saw people making...
That's the Weed Eater one. So it was Brian who met his wife there. I say between Don, whose brother looks like Jimmy Buffett, and Brian, who met his wife. They were didn't meet her. They were dating for 3 months. He popped the question at the Buffett show. She said, "Wait." The next day, he pops it again. They've been married 25 years.
I think that's our winner.
I think it's got to be, right?
Was it Don who had the talking about his brother?
That's right, yeah.
Looks just like him. Great. Don's a good storyteller. Mm-hmm, and he's been hitting us up on the app recently. He's solid.
He's solid.
He's like a solid broadcaster.
We got a lot of great submissions there. I think this one wins it,
though. Hey, my name is Brian, and I have a story that is 100% true and why my wife should get the Buffett tickets. After dating only 3 months, we went to a Buffett concert where we may or may not have enjoyed a full day of Parrothead fun. I decided that concert was a perfect time to ask her to marry me. She promptly told me that I had to ask her again tomorrow. I asked her again the next morning, and she said yes. As crazy as that beginning was, this year we're celebrating 25 years of marriage.
Oh, yeah. I feel more confident now than ever. Brian, congratulations. A pair of Jimmy Buffett tickets. I'll be getting up with you here soon.
I don't think we could go wrong by choosing Brian. The story about Daddy, I know we can't say.
Why can't we get drunk at school?
I know that's wrong, Daddy, and I won't ever say that. All the calls and all the submissions, thank you very much. Those were the cream of the crop.
Oh, right, no doubt. No doubt.
It is 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5 and Rob Holbert from Lanyap Mobile. On the way, we got a hold of our winner.
We did. Brian, very excited to hear that he won the app contest to win the pair of Jimmy Buffett tickets. One more pair we're going to give away tomorrow morning on the phones, so prepare yourself.
And Brian got a little antsy when he kept hearing some of the other submissions.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty good.
And then,
that's pretty good, too.
And tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster. That show September 19th, the day before my birthday.
Conversation between, happy birthday.
Thank you.
A conversation between Tommy Tuberville and Anthony Fauci. Now, this was during the Senate hearings, probably the same day that Fauci and
Rand Paul
got into it big time, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, here's, Tuberville is for Alabamians getting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he's consistently encouraged Alabamians to get it. Last month, he had a video calling on residents to get vaccinated. It went viral, made some headlines amid, some right-wing politicians who are not actively asking you to get the vaccine. So it's interesting. He says one way, again, this is Tuberville trying to get us vaccinated. He thinks more Alabamians should get vaccinated. He says give Trump more credit for the fact that the vaccines are here. And even Fauci agreed with him. Fauci told Tuberville that the Trump administration deserves a considerable amount of credit for the development of the vaccine. So it's kind of, funny the way everything is fractured the way it is. Americans and many Alabamians in particular not trusting medical experts.
Yeah.
There's reason for that, we know. We see that. And at the same time, there are now people who are, pretty much right wing, who are actually coming out and saying, get the vaccine, please, including a very, one that surprised me the other night.
Well, and as Sean pointed, and Sean Hannity said it the other night, Neil Cavuto said it, you've got plenty of commentators. But as Sean Sullivan, our very own Sean, said the other day, I don't know if Trump plays a big role in it as people would think. That was Sean's opinion. I'll add on, I think the biggest reason that there's this distrust in, quote unquote science, is because it's the government that's putting out this the information, but then the decrees that go along with that information. Really, they fumbled this from the very beginning. Fauci and then Attorney General Jerome Adams coming out and saying you don't need masks, and then coming out and saying, well, the truth is you needed masks all along. We were just trying to save those masks for our health workers. They lost a lot of people right then. They never went back and apologized. They never said, so they immediately then lost the trust of American people. And that was after 4 years of everything that ran being something horrible about Trump, that he was in the pockets of the Russians, that Trump was doing this, Trump was doing that. And
so everybody just felt like they were getting misinformation the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Just so fed then, one right after the other.
All right. Let me ask you this. If Trump won the election and was President Trump right now,
mm-hmm.
would the vaccination rate be higher?
it would be liberals who wouldn't be getting the vaccine. Because we saw that while Trump was president. The vice, now vice president, Kamala Harris, said she doesn't trust a vaccine that's come out this quickly. She would need some extra, she would need other people to confirm that it was safe to take the vaccine, which, you know, that's I guess that's fine to say that, but it was political before Trump left office. This big story that AL.com wrote that has gone now supernational because everyone's pointing at Alabama and going, you know, look at those dumb rednecks, where they talked to this nurse or a doctor in Birmingham, and she claimed that as people were dying in front of her under the age of, I forget whether she said 30 or 40, some of their last words are, please give me the vaccine, and she says, no, it's too late for that now. That was the line that got all the attention. Somebody went back and found her husband on Twitter in November of last year saying, I don't trust these vaccines. It's coming along way too quickly. Under you know Trump's administration here, they're pushing these out so fast, I don't have any trust in them at all. So a lot of the same people now who are saying that this is all politics and it's dumb Trump supporters and dumb rednecks, which, by the way, there's a huge contingent of people that aren't getting the vaccine that I know for a fact did not vote for Trump, that are being ignored. It's all Trump, they're saying here, all Trump supporters. These same people, when Trump was in office, said they didn't trust the vaccine at all either. There's been a lot of scientific information that's come out since then, but the people that are putting that information out are the same people that were lying months ago.
All right, here's what's not a lie. The numbers are up.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's not a lie. The hospitalizations are not a lie. Is it overblown? Well, we'll see. But if the numbers remain up and we begin to lose the sense of normalcy that it looked like we had gotten back to in early June, it's going to be really frustrating.
It is. It'll be.
It's really frustrating.
I don't see how they could possibly, and I think state by state, it'll be different, city by city especially. I don't see how possibly, first off, politically they could get away with doing another shutdown. But second off, I mean, the stats are bearing it out. The mental health issues that came from these lockdowns and the economic ramifications, totally not worth it.
Is it worth getting vaccinated for the greater cause? I don't know. Yeah, everybody gets to answer that on their own. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Morning, y'all. And if you're listening on the app, appreciate that. We've got family all over the country. This is on the app, and it's really, really cool. You know what? The other thing, Dalton, I think that this app is providing a steadier stream. You know what I mean?
Of
the content. It doesn't break up. Often it's a more reliable streaming audio.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed, because I was I use the app myself and check it out and use it, and it's less interrupted.
Yeah, I mean, well, with other apps that we've been streaming on, we're one of thousands that they're hosting there on the app, on the FM Talk 106.5 app. You have the stream, so yeah,
that's it.
It works really well. So does going back and listening to podcasts on there also. So check it out today. I think you'll really enjoy it.
8:36. Tomorrow night is a big night.
A huge night.
It's the Nappies, and we've got a guest on to talk about that.
Rob Holbert with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And do you already have the tux on, Rob, getting ready for tomorrow?
I am wearing it, yes. Yeah. I'm the tux top. I'm only wearing the top.
Nice. So excited.
Give the listeners a little something.
There you go.
So excited for the party this year.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah,
it's gonna be exciting, man. It's nice to be back in person. We didn't really have one last year. We kind of had a thing in the parking lot where people drove up and threw things into their car and they drove away, but that was about it.
Yeah, and it's different this year. So this week, yesterday was the announcement, right, for all the big winners.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah,
thankfully, we did come home with a couple of awards. I think Sean, best talk show host, and then Dan and I, best.
That was rigged, I'm sure.
Yeah. Are there any recounts here?
We might recount that one.
Yeah.
That one seems bogus. I don't know. There's something there.
That was like, all four of us were in on that one. Dan, myself, Jeff, and Sean. So we do have reason to be upset about that. But Dan and I are happy to bring home Best DJ Team. So that's cool. Can't wait for that tomorrow night. What's on the cover? I mean, I'm sure it's nappy related this week.
We have this space theme that Ashley cooked up. I always have to give Ashley all the credit for this because it really is. She puts this whole thing together, and I just kind of stand by and watch in amazement with everything she does. But it is a space theme, so we have Panini Pete floating through space to catch some of his squid ink food. It's not in a tube or anything like an astronaut would normally eat. It's just in a plate.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
I was at squid ink the other day.
And?
Yeah,
it was a very depressing lunch with my attorney, but go ahead. But I got to say the food was good.
At least the food was great, even though the conversation was lacking, right?
Hopefully you got to pick up the check.
this University of Alabama story just rolls on. It's like every week is like a new show, a new drama show in Lanyap. And the latest here, you have footage of the head of security at UA cleaning the chancellor's car, the overpaid chancellor?
Yes. The million-dollar-a-year chancellor has the head of security for the system, for the UA system, cleaning his, high-end Audi, going and washing it and buffing it and taking trash out of it. It was sent to us by an anonymous source, apparently this is not like a one-time deal, but apparently this guy, who used to be the chief of police for Tuscaloosa, by the way.
Wow.
He's paid $140,000 a year. I think he's probably got other things to do besides clean the chancellor's vehicle. But they didn't admit that it was it's one of these things where you can look at it and everybody, I showed it to a number of people who are familiar with the guy and are familiar with the place, and they said, yeah, that's him. And my source said, yes, that's him. I mean, my source knew it was happening enough to go and stand there and videotape it. So, but they didn't say, yes, it's him. They just said, hey, that car is used for business purposes, for university purposes. But it is the chancellor's personal car. It's not a university vehicle. It is he's owned the car since before he was actually hired as chancellor. So he's had it for a couple of years. It's questionable. There's some state ethics laws that appear to prohibit that sort of behavior. I know they prohibit that sort of behavior. You can't, as a state employees can't be ordered to go and do personal things for their superiors. But that's the latest story. It's kind of bizarre stuff.
Let me ask you this. So basically, Tuscaloosa is going kind of all Downton Abbey here. Right, take it down to the butler and let him
do the work,
buff up my car. Any other evidence of things similar to that going on? Of course, you had the breaking story about everybody with the parachutes.
There are rumors of numerous kind of things that are kind of inappropriate. But but now there is one of the other things that they're doing that a report on this week is the building that they're in is about 5 or 6 years old, so it's a fairly new building. And apparently they're doing a pretty extensive renovation in the chancellor's area to put in a new catering kitchen for him and that kind of stuff because he didn't like the old one. There's just some other things that apparently are rankling a lot of the staff members there. I mean, the whole thing is a real morale issue, according to a lot of these people across the university. And that's kind of evidenced by the fact that the division the fundraising division is they're having a survey among their employees to find out basically what their morale is, figure out what their attitudes are, because they're worried about the attitudes that they have there. So I think it's just kind of it's according to these people I'm speaking with, there's just an attitude issue across the university that kind of comes from the top down.
So, two questions.
The only thing working up there is the football team.
Sounds like they
can be doing fine.
Two questions. Is your source Big Al, and do people notice when he's filming these things for you?
I cannot say who my source is, but I do feed him peanuts. Let's just put it that way.
That's some good stuff. Talking to Rob Holbert with Lanyap and another great issue of Lanyap Mobile on stands now. This article by Gabe Tynes, Mental Health Crisis Center aims to fill gap in treatment. Now, this is something we were actually discussing in the office yesterday a little bit, as there's been an uptick in things going on in our neck of the woods over here around the studio. And the discussion came around, you know, when did this begin? What would be some fixes? And one of the things mentioned is there's a lack of mental health care, not just here, but everywhere. And what would things look like if there were proper places to house and help these people? And it seems like Gabe is writing about that a little bit with the center.
Yeah, I think that's the hope, is that you can have some of these people who don't, you know, the police will have a place to take people who aren't, they don't need to go to jail, and maybe they don't really have another place to go. It's a very difficult situation to commit somebody now, and we've done away with our state mental hospitals. And so we don't have those. You see it if you're downtown, or you guys are seeing it now. You see a lot of people who are mentally ill, have chronic substance abuse problems that, you know, whether they were mentally ill first or became so after years and years of drug use, I don't know which, you know, chicken or the egg type situation with that. But you know, there's a lot of those people. They just, what, they put them in jail for a little bit, mm-hmm. they release them, they're back out on the streets. And I think this is an effort to try to get some help for those folks. But, you know, it's still, I mean, I think a lot of people, myself included, I look at some people and just think, you know, wouldn't they be better off in a state hospital somewhere right. where they're actually getting some medication and then sleeping on the street and, you know, living that kind of life and endangering themselves or other people.
We're not
in that situation. We don't have a state hospital, so it's kind of tough.
You talk about the street, and the point is, often too, the mentally ill homeless are out of sight as well. They're in encampments, in woods near neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is a little creepy and scary.
Creepy and then sad sometimes.
Yeah, and sad for sure. Yeah.
But this hopefully what this will do is kind of ramp that up some, because, you know, what we've been doing is dumping these people into the jails often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's often they end up in. There's so many times you see these guys, I mean, I could downtown, that, you know, all of a sudden they're committing, you know, you see them and they're problematic, and then they commit some kind of crime.
Right.
Actually, they get thrown in jail for some, you know, extended period of time, and that's when they become part of the, you know, that's how they get taken off the streets and how they get care, that, you know, they end up in the prison system.
Not the best conclusion for all that. Rob, hang on. We'll talk about some of the local races that are closer than we think now.
Eating up, yeah, month out.
Rob Holbert with Lanyap, Lanyap Mobile.
And we'll be back. More Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwig, the best DJ team, according to Nappy's voters. More on the way.
Humbled and proud. FM Talk 106.5. Best DJ team. No, we don't DJ. Dalton will do it at parties.
Yeah, I've been known to.
But Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwig, taking the nappy home tomorrow.
Rest in peace, Biz Markie, passed away last weekend. One of the best DJs out there and beatboxer. Maybe Dan, you can beatbox the nappies tomorrow night.
You know, Dalton, you have led me to this award, and I will do whatever you ask. It's 8:49 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan, and the man who created the nappies and created Lanyap itself and Lanyap Mobile, Rob Holbert.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Rob. So we talked about the Chancellor situation in Alabama now getting his vehicle washed on the security's dime, or the campus's dime. Let's talk about this ethics. The head of the Ethics Commission and his children getting, I guess, kickbacks. Or how would you describe this story?
Well, it's technically what it's called, Dalton, is self-dealing. So Tom Albritton, who is the director of the State Ethics Commission, is also a trustee on a charitable trust that was put together in the will of a lady who was named Mabel Amos, who was an old former Secretary of State for Alabama. And when she died, they created a charitable trust that was supposed to give out scholarships. And about 10 years ago, some of the land that was owned by the trust, they found oil on it. And so they've pumped about $80 million worth of oil out of this property.
Wow.
And the trust now has, as its part of that, you know, it's got about, it had at least, back in 2018, had $9 million in it. And so lo and behold, you look at it, and Tom Allbritton has had his, or Tom Allbritton's children have had their college tuition paid for by the trust, which is called self-dealing, and you're not supposed to do it. He's claiming that it's okay. He didn't vote for it. The other two trustees voted for it. He abstained, so it's not his problem. He didn't do it. But the story I have this week is pretty interesting. So Mabel Amos's heirs, some of their her grandniece and great-grandniece, were totally unaware of all this oil money and totally unaware of all this stuff going on. And in fact, the grandniece, has been rejected for the trust to pay for her school, and so they're really upset. They're pretty hacked off about the whole thing and have gone out and hired an attorney by the name of Tommy Galleon, who you may have heard of.
Yes, we have. He's
pretty
been
famous
on,
here in the state.
Yeah, but famous, infamous, whatever so you want to say.
It's turning into quite a thing.
Yeah,
you know, they're going after it and trying to figure out how this money is being handled.
You know, finding millions of dollars of oil on a land, I got to say, that never happens to me.
Look, it hasn't happened to you yet. It could happen.
Good.
Keep that positive vibe going.
Ed Clampett had the same attitude.
And look at him.
So one more time, the connection between Allbritton and this trust, explain that to me one more time. I'm probably slower than most people that are listening.
Allbritton's family and his father's law firm put together the trust. They put together this lady's will, Mabel Amos's will, and in the will made Tom and one of the other members of the law firm trustees, as well as a lawyer from Regions Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are the three trustees of the trust, and they take care of it, and they make sure, you know, how the money's spent. And it is, and it's like I said, they paid over $100,000 of Tom Allbritton's kids' tuition.
Yeah.
And also, Regions Bank has received more than $1 million in fees from this trust.
Wow. Well, if anyone needs it, it's Regions Bank,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, the bank
of the SEC?
Yeah. With him being the head of the Ethics Commission, I mean, the obvious connection to is this ethical or not? Has anyone brought this, I mean, other than the story and your reporting on it, has anyone that could maybe do something about this brought anything up to him with this commission?
Well, I think that's with the family getting involved. They're people who have standing in it because they actually are heirs. You know, they've said, look, there was all this thing all along that Mabel Amos had no heirs, but she had. These people have received money in the will. They just didn't receive very much money.
Yeah.
But they, from what I understand, they have standing as family members and as people who are heirs to come back and complain and say, hey, we don't think this trust is being managed properly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But, you know, the real question is, the real issue is, you know, Tom Allbritton now is, you know, he sits in the position to make these calls on whether something is ethical or not, whether these types of things where, you know, in situations where somebody, maybe they're on a board and there's something that goes on that benefits them, and they abstain, is that okay then?
Yeah.
You know, if the water board, for instance, you know, they're going to buy some piece of property from one of the water board members and overpay for it, and the water board member abstains from it, is that okay? Is that okay now?
Yeah, I think what's ironic about all this is
the Ethics Commission should be the one to make those decisions, but
he's
kind of compromised in a lot of ways, I guess.
No doubt. And the fact that it is the Ethics Commission rings a little crazy, right? Turning our attention to elections, and is it a story that Sandy Stimson decided not to show up at that forum the other night?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that's a question. It's I think that's pretty standard for Alabama politics at this point. I don't know. We weren't really even informed about that until the very last minute as well.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ever tell us about it. But you know, yeah. I mean, I think I would. Ultimately, I'd like to see the mayoral candidates get together as much as possible and talk. I think it's good for us to see that. But, you know, I think you're going to get
probably one shot at that.
I've driven around a lot over the last couple of weeks, and using Sean Sullivan's famous yard sign counter, yep. Got to tell you, in terms of numbers of yard signs, Sandy Stimson's been number one.
Okay. Yep.
I've seen more Carlos Finley signs than Fred Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance, first off, with five candidates in the race now?
Yeah, we have five in the race now.
Runoff potential there, and second, I think Carlos Finley, if he, you know, I'm not sure he can win it, especially with both he and Richardson and these other two in the race.
But if you get into a runoff.
Well, yeah, then if you get a runoff, that's another question. But I think Carlos Finley might surprise people with the number of votes he'll pull here.
It would surprise me, but I have not really seen a lot of campaigning from either Carlos or Richardson. You know, I just don't see a whole lot. I don't feel a lot like there's a big campaign going on. You know, I'm not a big believer in the whole yard sign thing as much as Sean is.
But, I'm not sure he is either, but I definitely attributed it
but
to
it's him. A, you know, it is a I think when you look at it, you say, what's the momentum at this point? I don't know that there's a lot of momentum for any of those candidates, especially, I mean, the two that just got in the race, that's
no momentum.
So late to get in the race, it's almost, you wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, is it a potential to have a runoff? Sure, of course. But I still wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't one. I may be wrong, but I just don't think it's going to be real close.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it'll be very close either, but I just think from looking around and from the campaigning that Carlos has been doing over the last several years, I think he might outdo Richardson. But right now, it's, I guess, too soon to tell, even a month out. You know, and not that you lack any material for each week's Lanyap, but with the turnover in city council that's on the way, 27 candidates, you've got plenty of work cut out for you and the staff over the next year or two, at least.
Dale has been doing features on all of them, you know, so we've had, if you want to find out about these people, Dale Leash has done a profile on just about everybody running for city council at this point. He's still got a couple more to get in there, but there's a lot of them on there, so you can find out a lot about who they are and what they want.
That alone, Dale is due a vacation, right?
Yeah, he's been working hard on this.
27
stuff.
Profiles he's going to have to get in there before it's all said and done.
Good stuff.
And what, you know, for some of them, really, what do you have to say? I mean, the profile may be a paragraph long.
Yeah, some of them.
He managed to make it a, you know, pretty decent amount. He's asked them all, you know, the questions, main things that, you know, that are confronting the city, annexation, Amtrak, things like that, to get their points of view on them, CIP money. And, you know, they've all answered those questions. It's there for people to look at and get an idea of what these candidates are about, because I think in a lot of circumstances, you're not going to get a chance to meet some of them.
Rob, thanks for your time again this week, man.
Yeah, Rob Holbert, LanyapMobile.com. The subscription, less than a cup of coffee a day. Nappy's coming up tomorrow night. We're excited. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. And then Mobile Morning's back tomorrow morning at 6.